Binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out, and buried in the sands of the sea a cable's length from shore, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever willingly, knowingly, or unlawfully violate this, my entered apprentice obligation, so help me God, and keep me steadfast. What in the world is Bob Larson saying? Well, some of you know. Some of you have uttered those words. And what you may not know is that you cursed your life and you cursed future generations that come forth from your flesh. Notice the last line. So help me God. The question I want to ask of every Freemason listening to me today is, what God? The God of Scripture? Hardly. It's Lucifer. The devil. And wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that those wonderful people who build hospitals for children have uttered blood oaths, death curses, and have opened up themselves, their families, and future generations to demons and the devil? Are you trying to tell me that they're not Christian? Why, my pastors are Freemasons. Why, Dickens and our church are Freemasons. Are you nuts? No. But I advise you to sit back and listen. And talk to me at 1-800-821-TALK. I invite Freemasons to call me. I invite those of you who have families and friends who are Freemasons to call me. Because today we're going to explain how to break the curse of Masons. For the next hour, best-selling author and commentator, Bob Larson. Hello, America. Welcome to Talk Back with Bob Larson. I will be here the next hour talking about what's on my mind and hearing from you about what's on your mind. Now, to the topic of the day. And callers, feel free to pick up the phone. Dial 1-800-821-TALK if you have questions about Freemasonry. One of the foremost experts in the world joins me in the program today, a man for whom I have the highest regard, and it has been too long since this gentleman has been on our show. He heads up an organization called Saints Alive and is one of the recognized cult experts in America, particularly on the subject of Freemasonry, and of course he is an ex-Mormon. You know him as Ed Decker. And Ed, how you doing, friend? A while since we've talked.
Boy, it sure is.
And how's your health doing?
I'm doing great. You know, a couple of years ago, I got was in a very serious accident, and it took me a while to recover, but I've recovered. I'm out ministering and doing our newsletter and doing all the things that just as busy as I ever was.
And if people want to get a hold of you, they can reach you at saintsalive.com.
That's right.
And 1-800-861-9888, right?
That's right. And delighted to be on the show. I just had a call from some people at a Lutheran church in our area. They have a high-level Mason that somehow got into their membership, even though the Missouri Synod refuses to let those people in. He's teaching a Sunday school class. He's involved in the church. They've asked him to step down. He's actually refused to step down and brought his Sunday school class into rebellion, standing against the elders of the church and the pastor. Can you believe that?
Whoa. Now, historically, of course, the church has taken a strong stand against Freemasonry, and many historic denominations, such as you mentioned, Missouri Synod Lutheran, do not permit their members to also be Freemasons. Amazingly, I can name some prominent, well-known Southern Baptist preachers that everybody in this audience would know who are members of the Lodge. What gives here? Tell us, first of all, the historic position of Orthodox Christianity regarding Freemasonry.
Well, Orthodox Christianity, Freemasonry was not a part of Christianity, and in the early days of our nation, people stood up against Freemasonry in the lodges very strongly because it was a stench to God's nostril. I mean, if you read Matthew 5, God's, you know, in the Word, Jesus says that to be involved in such a thing comes from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
James says that if you're swearing these oaths in the lodge, you fall into judgment. And in Luke, we learned that that it opened up the door going into the pit of hell. And as you and I both know, it's Baal worship. And in the early days of our Christian faith in the United States, people stood against it. It really got a hold out of a church that came in through England, the Church of England, because of the strong power of masonry in that church in those days. It came in quietly. In the Southern Baptist Church, it's rampant. Some 40% of the pastors are Masons.
Although we should say there is a strong movement in the Southern Baptist community. They've tried to bring this issue before their conventions to deal with it.
And absolutely. And it's a knockdown dragout. And when they had one of the big votes coming up in the convention, the Masons put out a bulletin to every Masonic lodge in the United States telling their Baptist members to become travelers to the convention so they could vote down the opposition to Freemasonry. And so there was a strong play going on, but the Christians who are opposed to it aren't really united like the Masons are in the church.
Now, in this particular tape that I've done for our listeners, I identified five major objections to Christians being involved in, and there are so many more, and we'll be happy to go any direction that you want to also with this program today. But the ones that I've pointed out for particularly were the acknowledgement of a supreme architect, but the ambiguity of deity, no real designation of God as we know it in Scripture. Secondly, the utterance of death curses through the inert apprenticeship that we talked about a moment ago. And thirdly, amalgamating false faiths into the lodge and apart with Christianity. And then fourth, allegiance to fellow Masons above that of a Christian brother. And then finally, alignment historically with Luciferianism. Those are five that I really focused on. Your comments on those or some others that come to mind that bring people under a curse?
Well, another area I was just dealing with in the black community, the involvement of the black Masons, when you realize that the founder and the sort of father of American Masonry is Albert Pike. He was also the founder, one of the major founders, and very much involved in the formation of the Ku Klux Klan. And so you have a racist behavior pattern that also developed in Freemasonry. Only perfect white free men would be involved in it. And when there was such a powerful group of Freemasons within the body of the church in the Bible Belt, particularly in the South, when there was opposition to slavery, they rose up and formed the Ku Klux Klan.
And of course, Albert Pike, one of the founding fathers of Freemasonry, morals and God, but referred to Lucifer as God.
That's right, and we learn in Freemasonry that Lucifer is really the god of this world in a literal sense, that the Mason has to learn to control the energies of Lucifer. Manly P. Hall wrote about that we have to come into a relationship. There's good and there's bad, and bad isn't really bad. It's just an opposition of God and Lucifer are equal, and they have equal powers, and they bounce off of each other. They need the other to exist, and in order for God to exist, who and of course in the statement that you're talking about with Albert Pike, he talks about how evil God really was and how good Lucifer was.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer deals with the natural man, and if we learn how to work with Lucifer in the natural, then we can become greater men and empower ourselves to actually go into a level of almost godhood, almost as the Mormons concept of God is.
And I've got to get to a break here, but just a quick comment from you in regards to this matter of being cursed, of families actually living in spiritual bondage because of this.
I've dealt with that for almost a quarter of a century.
Mm-hmm.
and it's Baal worship that comes into the home. This Baal worship, you fall under the judgment and the curse of Baal worship that you read about in the Old Testament, and you have divorce and anger and abuse and homosexuality and sickness, and these things stay in the home, and it goes in through the man who takes that authority in the home.
One of the founding fathers, a man we mentioned a moment ago, Albert Pike, said at the very beginning of laying the roots of Freemasonry in the United States of America, Freemasonry is not Christianity. Well, that figures. The man was a Luciferian. But how could a preacher of the gospel then belong to the temple? You think the oath I gave you a moment ago was bloody? Take a listen to this one. The Masons have all said that, by the way. when a brother reveals any of our great secrets. You must hold yourself in readiness if called upon to cut your throat from ear to ear, pull out his tongue by the roots, and bury his body at the edge of some lake or pond. Are you willing to do that? I'm talking to some of you preachers out there belong to the lodge. You've said that. That's a death curse. Furthermore, if you were to reveal these things, you have also had to declare these words, that you would not communicate the secret to this degree or any part thereof, binding yourself under no less penalty than that of having my left breast torn open, my heart taken thence, and given up prey to the vultures of the air. Oh, and the master mason, it gets worse, having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken thence, and burned to ashes, and those ashes scattered to the four winds. All right, let's talk to some callers out there. Ray's on the line. Hello, Ray. Your comment, a question, sir?
I'm still here. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
I'm got Ray on the line. Ray.
Hi, Bob. Yeah, it's me. African American Brother in Christ in Southern California.
I do remember you, sir.
It's been a while that we talked. I usually call to give you encouragement. I'm still doing the same. But at this time, I need your help as well as Ed Decker's. And
okay.
I appreciate
okay.
you having Ed on the show. Well, I knew I was going to have to face this, so let me get to the point here. I found out 5 years ago that my great-grandfather, who I buried, was involved in Freemasonry.
Hmm.
And that let loose, but, you know, I'm talking serious, generational curse upon the men on my father's side of the family. And the Lord revealed that to me when I was speaking at his funeral. And it was so mind-blowing that I nearly fell to the floor like, what am I seeing? And then, on top of that, I found out later on that my mother was involved in the quote-unquote women's version of Freemasonry, the Eastern Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically in my senior year of high school, she was involved in that. So that also let loose some more stuff. Well, I talked to my wife, Lisa, about it. She found out, and she told me that some of her uncles and her grandparents were involved in Freemasonry. And Ed Decker mentioned earlier in the broadcast how some of the curses that could come upon a family,
yes,
such as divorce,
mm-hmm,
such as drug abuse, sexual abuse, you know, homosexuality. Well, gentlemen, I got news for you. All of that is running roughshod in my family. And, yes, so the so what I'm asking, you know, for your help as far as Ed Decker's in the area of prayer, because I didn't realize I need to renounce,
yes,
Freemasonry, even though I wasn't involved in,
yes,
it. But the bottom line is my great-grandfather and my mother was involved in it, and I need to renounce that.
You know, Ray, one of the most important teachings that we give again and again every weekend in our workshops, and I repeat this over and over, and it's amazing the folks who don't know it and the body of Christ really doesn't understand it, and that is that you are accountable not just for what you've done, but for others who have gone before you have done, because they had the spiritual power of attorney over your lives. In other words, because they were the ones in authority over you ancestrally, they could speak over your head and declare on your behalf things that you would be accountable for and suffer for. And this is something people don't want to deal with because they think it comes against free will and they get all sorts of other silly ideas. But when they really understand lines of spiritual authority and learn how somebody can speak the devil's access to you before you ever take a breath, it really is very mind-boggling, but it's exactly what the sins of the fathers being visited in the third and fourth generation are talking about. Now, the simple answer is you need to renounce these things, and if you know ancestrally specific individuals, name them, and if you know specific acts, name them. Anything you can do with specificity helps. Ed, additional comments you may have to help this man?
Well, you were given a scriptural reference about the sins of the fathers going to the third and fourth generation, and you have to remember that in the Masonic rituals, and particularly the higher levels of Masonry, it's not like they commit a sin and that will follow to the third and fourth generation. They call down the power. They call down this curse for the third and fourth generation. They invite it in. They don't think they're inviting in. They're inviting in different things in their minds, but they've been blinded by the god of this world, and they're being seduced by the god of this world by Jobulon, the three-headed deity they worship, and they call down this power to the third and fourth generation. And in fact, you and I know they're calling down a curse upon the third and fourth generation, and it has to be broken. It's real. I've seen it, and In 25 years of ministry in this area, I have seen it 1,000 times or more. And you just see these families that are just going through crisis after crisis. You sit down with them and you explain, as you have, Bob, the generational authority, and you break that, and you go back a month later, and there's peace.
And one of the things that's so critical is that the curses were verbally instituted. They need to be verbally broken. This is what so many Christians don't understand. They think, well, I just become a Christian, this stuff just kind of goes away. No, it was verbally enforced. It must be verbally nullified. You must speak on behalf of your family and future generations. You following me, Ray? Ray? Are you still there, Ray?
I'm still here.
Okay, you're fine.
The thing I have to ask you, Ray, brothers? Do you have people in your generation that can agree with you on this?
Let me see. I'm gonna be honest with you. The answer is no.
Okay. Well, then you take authority. You're the God link in your family. Then
that's the whole idea. Because what happened also, I didn't tell you this, is at my great grandfather's funeral, when I got up to speak, that's when the Lord showed me what was the generational curse that, you know, hit my family. Also showed me the root of it, which was Freemasonry. Now, the good news was my great-grandfather, you know, rededicated his life back to the Lord before he died.
Did they do a Masonic funeral?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
That's the good part. But still, the thing I'm finding out is he didn't renounce Freemasonry, nor the generational curses he put on, you know, family and other family, the whole nine yards. And what the Lord showed me that at the funeral, but he also told me that the spiritual lineage and leadership was passed from him to me. And that's when the Lord dealt with me and said, Ray, you are going to have to deal with these generational curses, you know, up front, because nobody in your family, especially the men of your family, aren't going to deal with it. That's why I've been listening to Bob Larson's broadcast, getting information as much as I can. And then when I heard about this today, I'm like, I have to call. So,
well, I'm really pleased that you have, Ray. And let me just say something here before I go. It's so important that you be specific. It's so important that you verbalize it. And it's so important for this listening audience to understand. You just can't make naive assumptions. If you become a child of God and you have these ancestral linkages, then everything is just kind of okay. Bless you. We love you, Ray. Thank you for the call. I want to get to somebody. I've got to get to a break. And, boy, it's hard to get to these breaks, and we got a hot show like this. I got a caller I want to get to just before I do that. And if I can't get finished up with you, Paul, we'll come back to you afterwards. Paul, your comment, sir.
Hello.
Paul, yeah. Turn your radio off, Paul.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I'm calling from Tampa. I started listening to your program a couple of months ago, and it was really, it's been quite a revelation to me. I really was pretty ignorant to a lot of the things that you talk about as far as the demons and everything that are actually, living today and active. I just didn't really realize that. But my comment was, my grandfather was a high-ranking member in the Masonic Lodge. My father's 33-degree Scottish Rite Mason. My uncle is a Mason. My brother is a Mason, and I'm in the Masonic Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a born-again Christian who believe I was a new creation when I got saved. I've gone through the lodge since I've been saved at my father's persistence.
What about at the start of the show when I uttered here over the air some of the curses that you had to bring down in your own head?
To be honest, I was at work and
you were. But what about the inner apprenticeship oaths? Binding myself into no less penalty than I've having my throat cut from ear to ear, etc.
Right.
You've done that.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't really, you know. To me, it was all symbolic, really.
How high did you go? What level are you at?
I'm 32nd degree now in the Scottish Rite.
So you went through the United States, the East, and the West, and took the sacred name of Abaddon. You know, those are really dangerous areas, brother. In the Knights of the East and the West, in the ritual there, you go through a process, and during that process, you learn one of the key words, Jobulam, and then you're given the sacred word, which is Abaddon. And, you know, some of that stuff may slip by you at the time because you might not know the Word of God well enough. But
well, basically,
Abaddon,
it all slips by me. I mean, I went because my father, you know, really he insisted that I go before I moved down to Tampa.
Yeah, I think there's a point here that we need to touch on before I get to the break, Ed. And that's, I've run into this, as I'm sure you do. People say, well, you know, it was symbolic, or I didn't really take it seriously, or it's just a bunch of hocus pocus. Just, you know, just it's a bunch of good guys getting together, and this is just a bunch of abracadabra stuff they go do. I didn't really mean it. But the point is, if they speak it, if with your lips you utter it, you become accountable for it.
You're kneeling on an altar with a Bible on the altar. I mean, it's an oath. It's a bound oath, and it's a blood oath, and you've done this. And the thing about it is whatever the reason and however the simplicity of the mindset that you had when you went through it, you have to realize that Jesus said in Matthew 5 that if you do these things come, that you swear in these oaths that you have sworn, they come of the evil one. And if you're a follower of Christ, you cannot do that, and if you have done it, you have to repent.
And
Jesus says it comes of the evil one.
And we're not suggesting that you've been anything less than sincere in your commitment to Jesus Christ. You have to distinguish between the eternal regeneration of your spirit that occurs when you become a child of God versus the affliction of your soul, your mind and emotion and your flesh that can take place even after you become a Christian if there are these vulnerabilities. You understand what I'm saying, Paul?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're any less a Christian or any less sincere.
Right.
I'm just saying that you can still suffer in the flesh, suffer oppression and torment if these things are not broken. I really want to encourage you to get over to Lakeland, and we've got one of the best New What Jesus Did teams in the country over there, and let us spend some time praying for you to help break these things over you.
Well, I'm sitting here with one of the members of the team, Richard, who's worked with you when you've been here before. I guess really what I'm wanting to know from y'all is, what have I actually vowed going through the Scottish Rite, the 32nd degree? Basically, I can't tell you three things that I said all weekend.
Well, I can tell you a lot of things that you said.
It's a tremendously long, boring weekend, and just sit there and go along with the program.
Did you take communion when you went through the 30th degree?
Communion. I think so.
You know, out of the top of a human skull?
Yes.
Brother? I thank God that you're listening to the show today.
Amen.
These things that you've done in darkness, we're told in the Word of God again that not, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, talking about the things that you've been involved in, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You need to step away from that. Just even today, just say, Lord God, you know, I never meant to offend you, and I did things because of my family. I'm separating myself from that spiritually right now. And I'm going to work out of this situation.
Now, you guys just, everybody hold steady here. I got to get to this break. And I appreciate Ed Decker being with me today. Let me get to a couple other quick callers and I have to move along here. Let's go to Jim right now. Jim.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I have an uncle, and he's passed away now, but he had the Masonic funeral,
mm-hmm.
and I know he was heavily involved in it in his younger days.
Mm-hmm.
As he was older, he wasn't able to go to the meetings as much. Could that have a generational curse on my family? There seems to be a curse on the males in my family.
Mm-hmm. It definitely could. And Ed, I want you to just address this issue because we raised it a moment ago. Two people have talked about this business of the funeral. Describe for us what is different, what is unique about the Masonry funeral.
Well, in the funeral, the Masonic leaders from the local lodge come and they pronounce, the first one that I attended quite accidentally, which one of the things that got me started in this ministry was these Masons coming down the aisle in this funeral regalia with formal clothing and high hats on and white gloves, and they were carrying certain mystical things, and they were just sort of, this darkness fell upon the congregation of this Christian man who had died, and who had been a Mason, and they went over to the coffin, and they began to exercise what I felt were pagan rituals of leaves and chanting and things like that over it. And they were basically, he was buried with his white apron, which was his covering before God when he stands before the great white throne judgment of God, according to the apron lecture. Well, the judgment of the white judgment is the judgment of those dead not in Christ. And yet here was a man who was being buried with this white apron covering him to be his covering. His works and his ritual in the Masonic Lodge.
Yeah, it's really his ticket to heaven.
Yeah, it's his ticket to heaven.
I mean, in fact, the essential teaching of the Masonic Lodge is by the good works on behalf of the Lodge that you have the merit to enter into eternal life. It is,
that's right. That's why this man was being buried in his apron, because he, just like when Mormons are
who have been to the temple like I was are buried. They're buried in their fig. The Mormons are even less subtle about it than the Masons. They're buried in a fig leaf apron, and that's their covering.
All right, Brett Brushagen.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, I got Ben on the line. Ben's all the way down in Phoenix. Ben.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? I got a question for you. You mentioned that if you have these Masonry or Mormonism in your line or whatever, that you're held responsible for that. What I'm wondering is if we've been saved by Christ, and Christ in His blood has taken care of all those sins for us, how is it that we're, you know, held responsible for that?
The fact is that this is what a lot of Christians don't understand. Let's make it plain. When you become a child of God, when the Holy Spirit has regenerated your spirit, we're not suggesting that the things of the past or anyone has spoken before is going to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? It's not going to stop from going to heaven, is it, Ed?
No, it's not, but what it's going to do is that the fruit of unrighteous behavior, the fruit of these kinds of dark things, has the problem that, was it Ray who was talking about how the family comes apart? I've been in Utah many times preaching, and I've been in a Christian congregation of, you know, 500 people, and I pray at the end of it. I'll bring up something along this line, and I'll pray, and I'll ask if you're a Christian and you're fighting, you've got kids in rebellion, and you're sickness in your home, and you're fighting all these things. It's three steps forward and two steps back, and you're looking for victory. Part of it comes from not having broken that curse of the generational stuff that went on in your lives, in your parents and your great-grandparents and so forth. And I'll have three-quarters of the congregation stand up and come down for prayer. These are Christians. They're going to heaven, but they're not living the victorious Christian life of prosperity and
Amen.
Power and anointing to reach others
Amen.
Lost and bring other people to come to heaven with them. You know what I'm saying?
We're not talking
they don't have that victory life.
We're not talking about the curse of sin. We're talking about the curse of sin being broken through the blood when you get saved. We're talking about the curse that comes upon the soul and the flesh. Friends, you need to get the information on how to break the curse of cults like Freemasonry. Part of what you're hearing today is on the tape. Much more is on that tape. It's an hour-long tape, How to Break the Curse of Cults. In the 4 for Freedom Pack, for your gift of just $44 to support this ministry, you receive 2 videos, 4 tapes.